Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast for Round 7, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is a bit cock-a-hoop. He's a bit happy with himself. It is Adam Rosenbach.
I'll need that champagne on ice, and yes, all the oysters, mate. I'm not fucking... G'day, Michael. G'day, Junktimers.
You're very chummy all this week for some reason. I'm not really sure why.
Mate, we have had, obviously the Junk Time listeners know that you and I do very well for ourselves. That has been well established over many years and rightly so.
But
like we have studios in right around the country.
Right around the world. I think you'll find we have Joe Watson Studios in New York. We have...
That is correct. Campbell Brown Studios in Phuket.
We have Ian Aiken Studios in London.
Yes.
I think they're Johnny Gastev because we have so many studios in Brisbane. I keep on forgetting. Well, Mark Zanotti Studios, I think that might have been.
I think it was Mark Zanotti Studios in Brisbane. That is correct. Yeah. But mate, that is how well that we are doing. We are so well established around the world. And if you didn't think that the Junk Time juggernaut could get any bigger, Michael, we had one of the biggest windfalls I've ever had in my life, and I got to say, mate, we are just set. Whatever you need for yourself, mate, go out and get it. You need another pair. When you're heading into the MCC and you think these RM Williams have got a scuff on them, fucking go out, throw them away, and go and buy yourself 10 new pairs for the next 10 games you go to, mate. I don't want you in a second-hand pair of RM Williams for the foreseeable future.
Now,
you hear me, my friend?
Now
I'm looking out for you.
Will you pay for my butler to drive the Bentley to the store and then back? Because, I mean, that should be on your dime. That shouldn't be on my dime because, you're setting my butler a charge. Okay, cool.
Mate, trust me. We can afford whatever your butler needs.
Now,
mate.
Where?
And if you need to upgrade the Bentley, fucking hit me up. If you want a low top, if you want a convertible Bentley, I'm here for you, buddy.
Now, where's all this money come from? I mean, as you said before, we're doing very well and we're very humble about it. We barely bring it up. But I'm trying to wonder how this extra money that you've got, I'm not quite sure where it came from. Have you had a good day on the stock market or something? Or?
No, nothing to do with stock market. Didn't even have a windfall on Charlie Curnow, kicking a big bag on the weekend. Didn't put any money on that. It's just one of those things that, you know, when money just appears in your bank account.
I know.
You're just like, this is fucking great.
I know
this.
What's happened. You've got into Jason Ackermanis's cryptocurrency, haven't you?
Look, that is about to take off. But no, that is not where the money has come from. Well, look, I'll let you in on a little secret here. And, you can, Junk Time is out there. This is open to all of us if you want to make easy money. And all you got to do is get an AFL footballer to believe that you work for a bank and they'll fucking give you all their money. It's that simple, Michael. I mean, just try it on your family and friends first. But you know what? I reckon the softest target is just a simple footballer who sees a text message pops up and then just donates his whole life savings to you. It's fantastic. So thank you very much, Jacob Wiedering. We appreciate what you've done for Junk Time. It's a very big donation. I'll check if it's tax deductible. Probably is. And we're laughing, mate, all the way. Not to the bank because that's where it came from. We'd never trust one of those fucking stupid institutions.
We're laughing all the way to the international waters, I think is what we're doing.
That is absolutely correct.
So that was a full-on story. So Jacob Wiedering fell for a scam, and it seemed to be a very good scam. Like, it wasn't like kind of people calling up and kind of, getting every one of your names wrong and then trying to still get the money off you.
The thing that I think that really shits me about all these kind of scams is when it pops up in the text messages from the bank, so it's actually a part of legit ones. So why wouldn't you fucking fall for that?
Yeah,
like,
I would. I am actually amazed that, say, my parents and the like, probably saved by the fact that Dad doesn't have a mobile phone, doesn't know how to work one. But I'm actually surprised they haven't been done for a...
Does he not have a mobile?
He has one. Like, his work gave him one, but he...
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is about a year. I think it was when I was back for Christmas one year. I think it was like maybe 2021. And,
yeah.
And he was like, okay, I meant to learn how to use this. And obviously he turns to me and I'm like... look, that was my Vietnam, all right? It wasn't so horrible, but I kind of just had to go through it. But, like, he will hold it, like, as if it's about to blow up. Like, but he essentially just doesn't use it yet. But I'm amazed he hasn't fallen for I'm not encouraging scammers to target. But my mum...
My dad often, still uses checks, so I'm feeling fairly confident that he's not going to get stitched
yeah,
up.
Yeah, sure. My mum will often hit me up about a scam. She seemed to be getting one from Amazon for a while, saying that she owed $80 or something.
Yeah, okay.
And I think I've got that one as well, so kind of a regular one. But yeah, she hits me up when anything's a little bit sus.
Have you had the It's Mum scam, the one from the supermarket?
I have. I think I've had that a couple of times, yeah. And so what are they meant to do with that one? So they're meant to reply, get your bank?
Yeah, so you reply and you're like, oh, shit, mum, what can I do? And then they'll hit you up with a bank account that you just quickly deposit. Like, and I reckon with that one, that probably works better because usually the scam is like, hey, my credit card isn't working. I need $350.
Yeah.
And with that kind of money, you're like, oh, that sounds legit. But if they hit enough people for $350,
yeah,
it's a bit of a windfall for them.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, I showed one to you last year, was it? And it was an Australia Post text that I wasn't sure was legit or not, but only complicated by the issue that I was actually expecting a package like in the next day or two. So it was like,
that's the worst thing when you are expecting something. You're like, do I? Have I?
Yeah.
Does DHL want to get in touch with me?
Yeah, sure.
So Weeders is actually fronting a campaign talking about the legitimacy of these the scams and how they can get people sucked in and just
gotcha.
To be careful.
So that's why the story's come out, because he's kind of, you know, he's gone corporate, I think is the way.
He has gone corporate. Would you use that? So, okay, say you're playing against Jacob Weedering. It's deep into the grand final. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's taken a mark. He's drifted down forward. He's taken a mark. He's 45 out from goal.
Yep.
Are you standing on the mark just going, a-cha-ching,
a-ching? I'd be getting in his kitchen, getting in his shoebox before the game. So, like, you know, he's doing the grand final parade, and all of a sudden, like, he gets, like, 25 texts from the opposition. Doesn't know it's them. It's just like, fucking hell, which one's real? Just all the way up. And then also, like... you know how they take their phones away from them? Like, I mentioned, they go and put them in a bag or something like that.
Yeah.
He's kind of terrified that, like, some bloke's going to, like, just kind of accidentally pick up his phone, going to activate it, going to reply to all these messages, and all the cash is going to get flying out the window.
So that's all he's going to be thinking about
for the whole game.
Playing during the game. Well, you know what you could do on the banner?
And then also on top of that, if the grand final is sponsored by a bank, it's already in his head.
Yeah, he's thinking about NAB the whole time. The NAB Oz kick has come out. He's like, fucking hell,
he falls on the logo. He's like, it's on me.
They're probably going to scam me. Also, like, what you do on the opposition banner is you have on your banner just one text message saying, hey, Jacob, it's mum.
Yep.
I'm at the supermarket. I need $350,000 because my credit card's not working.
Dude,
it's a horrible story.
Yeah, sure. Do you know anyone personally who's been done over in times?
That is a terrific question. No, I mean I talked about it in my stand-up show that I had my superannuation. They tried to hack that during COVID.
Did they?
And I had to, mate. Did you not pay attention during the show?
Really, I don't remember that bit, but I did pay attention. But I don't remember that bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So my super got hacked, and luckily, I had the two-factor authentication set up, and it said, are you trying to pull out $9,500? If it's not you, give us a call.
Yeah, okay.
And I rang, and the woman's like, okay, so it's not you. And she said, is your address in Morty Alec?
Oh, that's right. Like, I remember now, yeah.
I was like, no, I'm a comedian, not a fucking idiot. And so the people had gotten into my ATO account and had changed the address on my tax file number, and so then I had to ring the ATO, which took like fucking 2 hours to get through to them.
I was going to say, that's
absolute fucking nightmare to deal with. And then the guy's like, no, mate, you live in Morty Alec, you change the address. I'm like, mate, I've lived in North Fitzroy for 10 years.
Mm.
I don't live there. And then just to make things easier, I now live in Morty Alec.
Adam, we have a new head honcho of the AFL.
We bow down to our new boss, our overlord, Andrew Dillon. We say welcome. And we obviously will show you as much respect across your tenure as we have done. I mean, we named a studio after the greatest administrator of all time, Wayne Jackson. So clearly, Andrew Dillon, you have big shoes to fill, but we think you can do it, mate.
Well, that's the thing, mate. If you win our respect, you know, all we want is to be respected for first off. But also, we have talked to the CEO, Gil McLachlan, on this show before. And didn't he change the topic beautifully when we brought up the AFL kitchen and bar at the airport?
He was seamless. He was very good, Gil. And also, so Andrew Dillon doesn't take over until October 2nd, so 2 days after. So Gil's getting another fucking season, basically.
Yeah.
And he gets to do all the grand final, all the parade, does all the fucking functions, has a big fucking I'm leaving tour. And it's like, mate, you said you were going to leave last May.
Yep. And also, he's eking out an extra day of pay. Because come the siren on grand final day, like, you're done, Gil. Like, what do you got to do? What are you doing on the Sunday? Okay, what do you, it should be already packed. Like, you got to kind of go down to the team that wins and kind of, you know, make sure they're not wearing sunglasses. They got their shirt tucked in. They're looking presentable. They're not hungover. They haven't got a VB can in their hand when they get presented to the crowd. Like, Gil, it's done. Let it go, Gil. Let it go.
Move on. You know what I'd love to see is on that last day is Gil escorted out of AFL house with security.
With a box.
All his shit in a box.
Just with a box.
With all his shit in a box. It's an AFLX trophy.
And it's the that big muscly security guard they had at the Brownlow a couple of times.
So Gil McLachlan, from when he announced it until when he will actually leave, is further to your point about accruing extra days work, 538 days he stayed on since he said he would go. Now, anyone at work who says, hey, guys, I'm leaving, you're like, all right, mate, fuck off.
Yeah.
Don't let the door hit on the way out. And it's like 538. You're just a bit like, when's this motherfucker going
to
roll?
I had a relative who had a retirement party and I went to that, like for their work, like, you know, it was, a fairly large function. They'd been there for a very long time. But then they didn't retire and they kind of kept on doing a bit more work, and then that gradually became more and more work. And then eventually, when they finally did retire, they had another retirement party. And I was like, I've been through this before.
Yeah, no, you don't have two retirement parties. You don't get that.
But then on top of that, they said that Gil, because he was going to hang around, he actually put a bit of a price tag on his name.
Did he?
Yeah, they said I said kind of the money had to kind of be upped a bit, given a bit of a bump. This was in an article the other day for him in order to hang around, like kind of, you know, because the services were so required.
You know what I'm going to love? I immediately reckon, what's the bet? Gil turns around and becomes a consultant to the AFL on October 3.
Yeah, sure.
For triple the money. Because he's got, like, you know, he's got a second oven in his kitchen that he needs to pay for.
Well, I feel like I've read something that he might be looking overseas jobs. Or is that Scott Morrison? I'm not totally sure. Hey, let's face it. Both vote for the same party.
Yes, that's right.
But, I imagine he'll go out and... Oh, no, that's right. They were talking about him running the Brisbane Olympics. That was one thing for a while. They were talking about him doing the job for that, like being the CEO of the Olympics as such.
Well, I mean, you look how successful Gather Round was. I mean, you just take, instead of 18 teams, you've got, 60-odd countries. It's pretty much the same format.
I think that actually would be a pretty interesting job, to be the CEO of the Olympics. I think it'd be quite fascinating. Because who was the guy that was the politician who was the... He was the kind of minister for the Olympics in 2000. And then Justin Madden was the... I think it was Michael Knight, I think.
Okay.
Related to Mark, obviously. Yeah. And that's why there's a little pig on the Olympic medals.
Yeah.
And then Justin Madden was the minister for the Commonwealth Games when they were here.
I mean, the Commonwealth Games would be just a feet up on the desk.
You're getting in at 11 on that one, aren't you?
Yeah. Because remember, Melbourne or Victoria has, I believe, the 2026 Com Games, which they're farming out to regional Victoria.
They are. Did you go to the 06 Commonwealth Games? I was in Adelaide for the Adelaide Fringe for a bulk of it, and then I remember I went to the final night of the Athletics at the MCG. Did you go to any events?
I reckon I found a ticket stub for maybe... for the Athletics, like one day at the Athletics at the MCG. But I genuinely cannot remember going, and I would be too embarrassed to admit, like with pride, that I bought tickets and went.
The one observation I had from going... Actually, I remember going to a day of Athletics at Sydney.
Yeah.
I think my morning session to like, my, maybe they'd finish in the Arvo and then have a night session. And if I remember correctly, it was also the most hungover I have ever been in my entire life.
Well, that I reckon that's perfect for the Comm Games. Like, you're not at your best.
Well, I feel like the athletes are hungover as well.
Yeah, exactly. You just you feel like you're at one with what you're seeing out there.
Did I ever tell you this story? So I went to the Heineken Club, I think it was called. It was like the hottest ticket in town in the Sydney Olympics. And I think by the end of it, you need a Dutch passport to go
in
there.
Is that not where Princess Mary...
No, actually, fun fact, that's a slip in. So it's not far from... I think it's Darling Harbour-ish kind of area.
Okay.
But actually, because Mary's in town. Oh, sorry, Princess Mary's in town. And actually, a journo, I just saw a clip earlier today at work, and a journo said a little bit of a cheeking, oh, so you're going to pop into the slip-in while you're in you're in Sydney. And she kind of cracked it like a royal could crack it, kind of going, what a funny question of you to ask. Saying, haven't heard that one, motherfucker.
Yeah, that journalist has been put down by the Danish Secret Service.
Yeah, so but yeah, so I went to the athletics that day, and then the thing about the Commonwealth Games, the final day of the athletics, was that Australia won like about 15 medals. And the thing I found interesting is that when they're doing a lap of honour, like I thought that was like the whole crowd would be focused on that person doing the lap of honour.
Oh no, but there's other events happening.
There
in
are,
the track
yeah. So they kind of get lost in the mix. It? Like I always thought, like when Usain Bolt did a lap, well, probably a bit different for him, but like you know, for the high jumper doing a lap, like everyone's like, yeah, look at the high jumper. But then I realised, oh no, there's like a whole bunch of different things going on, and you go, oh, you're still on the course. Like, you've had your track, moment, mate. Get off.
yeah. There's fucking 1500 meter runners going past. So, Andrew Dillon, back to the
football
new man. He was a one of your alumni, I do believe.
It's good to see
just something good come out of that school for once, you know.
Look, I think
Xavier College.
I think they breed them. They breed them privileged at Xavier College. So he got the job. So he was football operations manager, is that right?
Yes, I do. But he's a lawyer, isn't he? Wasn't he the legal counsel as well?
Oh, I think he might be right as well. Yeah, sure. Oh, so he covers a lot of bases.
Yes.
And I also found it funny. Didn't they pay $1 million to an American company to headhunt people and to kind of be a recruitment firm? And they went, oh, yep, we found the perfect guy. He's in the office next door to Gil.
Does he change offices, or do they just take the CEO plaque off the door and just pop it over to the next door?
It depends if you want to be a man of the people. Like, you know, I think that's quite a nice act if you go, no, I'm not going to change office. I'm not going to kind of take the three-level office that has a vineyard in the bottom floor and a stable on the second. But I'm...
Okay, are you changing offices? I am, for one, changing offices, and I am having... a door with a secretary out the front of that, and you need to get through the secretary to get to me.
Yeah, sure. My dream in life, if I had stupid money, and it'd be purely for humour, but if I had absolutely stupid money, my office would be a complete replica of the Oval Office. If I had stupid money, I would build a replica of the Oval Office, and that would be fun for me. But so when they,
I mean, I've been to a replica of the Oval Office, the George Bush Library.
I
believe he has one in Dallas.
Yep. I think them to the JFK one. I think they have a replica there as well. I think you kind of get the photo behind the desk kind of thing.
Yes, that's what I did.
So for Gil, they promoted from within.
Yep.
And then for Demetra, he came from the AFLPA, right?
PA, so, yes, that's gotcha. Correct.
So then Wayne Jackson came from a bit of out of the blue, if I remember correctly.
Well, because he was so good. I mean, the word just spread around. Wayne Jackson, he's a man who can barely say Liberatore. You know, so they're like, we've got to get him for Brownlow.
Well, that's actually a very good point. That's actually, I wonder if that they take that into account. Can you read numbers from three down to one and get names correct? Like, that could actually be quite the thing on your CV. Like, you know, obviously, you know, got a master's degree in law, can read. But I find it very interesting, like the transition. And also, I remember having mail about someone who was in the world of this decision, and or in terms of, like, you know,
like helping to make the decision.
No, I'm more like kind of made a very, 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 very long list.
Okay.
And the call being that
Mate, we've all got long lists.
Yeah, but like the idea being that they didn't want to do it by the fact that you essentially become a politician. Like you have to be a politician. Like you are, people know who your kids are, who know who your family is. Like, you know, walking down the street and like some.
When you say it to them like that, I know who your kids are. I know who your
shouted from
is.
A passing car.
Yeah, yeah.
But that thing of like, I mean, if you think about it, I think it's Neil Mitchell. I think he still does it, but he has like half an hour with the Prime Minister, with the Premier, and the head of the AFL, and probably more people tune into the head of the AFL than the other two. Like, you actually kind of have to become like a proper figure in
diplomat.
Public life.
Yeah. Speaking of someone who probably couldn't do that job, James Sicily.
Oh no, I think he's good at playing a straight bat.
Has absolutely covered himself in complete and utter glory during the week when he was doing an interview, and this is where I find it. He's unlucky to get found out after doing an interview on RSN Breakfast. So they asked him about, you know, what would it be like if you, would you go down there as a player? Would you play in Tassie? Mm. And James said, there's not much happening down there. Mm. It could be difficult. I couldn't imagine myself living there, which for some reason the Tasmanians arced up about.
Yeah, yeah. And they pointed out that the government of Tasmania is supporting Hawthorn to the tune of about $4 million a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So he very quickly had to put out a statement. Like, I imagine when it came out of his mouth, he was like, I probably should not have said that. And then you got to head... Whenever there's like a thing like this, and again, it's not a massive thing, but when there's a bit of a controversy, I always feel for the people who, like, they have to go and, like they've got to work on the statement, you know? Like,
yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've got to work with the player or whatever to kind of put out the statement, like... You know, yes, it was a dumb thing. He hasn't broken a law or anything like that. But I just feel bad for that kind of that media group that has to go, fuck. Well, you've ruined our Tuesday, haven't you?
Yes, totally. And they're just like, mate, you do know we're sponsored by it. We're on the hook to, like you say, $4 million. And they've pumped in a lot over the journey since you started going down there. But also, he did drop a truth bomb. As if you were an 18-year-old who grew up in Melbourne, which is, you know, pretty fucking happening during... winter, and it's kind of, you know, not a bad city to hang out in. If you're an 18-year-old, would you want to be drafted to Hobart?
I think it'd be an interesting one, actually, and that's the kind of main thing I talk about. And I want to make it clear, I absolutely adore Tasmania, and I want to make it absolutely clear, Adam off-air has said a number of very disparaging things about Tasmanians as a whole. But I think the one thing I keep thinking about is the retention. Like, how can you retain people? Like, hopefully, ideally, they do. But I feel like it could be just like a bit of a revolving door, unless they're winning four flags in a row, you know what I mean?
Well, I guess the one thing that it has going on its side is it's a footy culture, so you are going to be very well recognised if you are down there. It's not like Gold Coast or GWS where you're a bit of anonymous, you know, an anonymous person as you strut down the street in your full GWS kit or Gold Coast kit that says Gold Coast footballer on the back. And people are like, oh, what do you do, mate? Do you work at Hog's Breath?
Yeah, and you're handing out free tickets to the
exactly, yeah. And people still don't know what the free tickets are for.
Again, having said that, like, I actually would be curious, if you did a poll of the players, would it be, I want to be recognised or I don't want to be recognised? In, say, a Melbourne bubble or something like that. Or Adelaide, like, let's pick a two-team town. Like, do you want to be recognised or does it just become way too much?
The sub-question, so sub-question without notice, am I single?
And then I think the sub question after that would be
double sub question.
Yeah, what am I incredibly attractive?
Yeah, have I got a good rig? So the answer is yes, I would love to be until such point that I settle down and then just fucking keep it to yourself what happens when I come down for the games.
And just don't be on social media and get a lot of people to sign a lot of NDAs.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly how you play it out. But so they kind of had the big announcement this week that the federal government is pumping money into, which was kind of the last, the last thing that they needed before, you know, they could sign off and saying, hey, there's going to be a Tasmanian footy team. So Elbow went down there and was like, hey, You know, I know a lot of you are struggling to pay off some massive loans and, you know, the cost of living is going out of control, but here's some free money for a footy ground.
Yeah, I actually was very surprised at the number of protesters down there. Like, and also they were calling out, and it was funny, a lot of people dressed up in their football gear, but then a lot of people were still shouting, "We don't give a shit about the AFL." But yeah, they were talking about housing problems and the like. I actually watched quite a bit of that footage. But I actually also didn't realise the size of the... I mean, obviously, it's a big area they need to redevelop, but I didn't realize it was like I suppose less, as little populated as it is, if you know what I mean,
like where it is in proximity to Hobart, like you just kind of go, that's a big expanse that nothing is being done
with
it.
Yeah that's what I thought. Yeah, but having said that, of course, like, it'd be obviously foolish to kind of, you know, be knocking down suburban homes for a fucking football ground. Because do you even remember what was on where Marvel is now? Like, they call it Docklands, but like, what actually was it back in the day?
Fucking great.
Like, when you would go down to the docks.
Yeah, yeah, for to
just, you know, collect,
just to do some pickups,
a few packages.
yeah, just to see what came in on that container from South America.
Like, was it just like concrete nothingness, or like warehouses or something, or?
No, was it not an attachment of further, like an extension of the Spencer Street rail yards at the time, maybe?
Maybe. Well, they developed that maybe, I feel like, around about the same time, if I'm right.
Yeah, see, I thought, or perhaps was it the docks down there where Docklands currently is, and then they kind of moved them down to West Melbourne, perhaps?
Yeah, that might be right. Because, I mean, you think about it nowadays with the football technology that we have, is that I imagine back in the day it was like, we need a ground and then we also need a massive car park around it. While nowadays it's more like, we just need a ground and we build the car park underneath.
Build the car park underneath, and also we put it on like a loop train station. So Southern Cross is exceptionally easy to get to. And I assume that it would predominantly be built so people would use public transport to get there.
Yep. I actually went to the game on Saturday afternoon, traditional football time of 4:35, which I found quite interesting. But it was actually fucking refreshing. I hadn't been to a game since the AFLW last year, and then the grand final was the last men's game I went to. But
Went to Bont's 200th?
I did. He did a little lap of honour, got carried off at the end. The Hawks did a guard of honour for him. Bit over the top. Done nothing, is nothing. But it was actually a very impressive crowd as well, actually. Like, it was chock-a-block and very handsome crowd. Like, a lot of attractive people there. I was like, going, wait a second, what's going on here?
So where did you sit, can I ask? Did you buy a ticket? Did you?
I did. I sat near, I actually sat in, like, the second row, which is a bit of a different look. And I actually quite enjoyed that, by the fact there were many moments where they were up close. I was on the... let me think, the hard camera, like, I think it was on the, if you're watching TV, I think it was on the right hand side in the pocket.
Yep.
Pretty much right in the pocket. But actually, I haven't been in that position for a fair while. I should probably try and seek it out some more, just by the fact it is a kind of different, interesting way to watch the game.
Yeah, what's it like down there? Like, I often am behind glass.
What's
it down being like? But can you hear the players talking?
You can. Yelling? You can hear them bumping. You can hear them calling out. The only problem being with my eyes is that once it's past the 50-meter line, I'm like, I got no idea, and I'm and I'm looking at the scoreboard. But no, it is actually, and also weirdly, they actually look small. It's a weird kind of little illusion, but they actually don't look like they're massive giants. Like, they're, even though they're way closer to you than they normally would be. But no, it was actually really good fun. I get to go to another one in about 2 weeks, and then I think I might be toast for my time in Melbourne after that.
Yeah, you're done. You're back to Rod Carter Studios.
Well, yeah, and then I think we play the Giants up there at Homebush at the Beanstalk at some stage, so at least I get another Hawthorn game at some stage, I think, I hope.
Well, that should be a bit of fun for you, mate.
Hey, footballers in real life?
Hit me. We didn't have any last week, and the junk timers have come to the party on the realisation that we're bereft.
From Daniel, listen to this week's pod where we had no footballers in real life. I like the collective we there.
I
realised that I had miraculously had one. Over in Melbourne to visit my new nephew and steal some ideas for our brand new team, go the Tasmanian Penal Settlers. We were out to brekkie on Anzac Day in Newport when my brother digged me in the ribs. He's a big Bombers fan and saw it as a good omen before going to the game that Jakey Stringer was there, and had taken his breakfast from the table where he and some others were to his own side table to tuck in with some vigour. He seemed to have a bean-based breakfast with extra hash brown. We were excited enough to put $5 on him at Junk Bet to win the medal. But someone obviously got the votes panel, got to the voters panel before you guys did. We tried, man. We tried, Dan.
Yeah, we did try. And that's interesting that I didn't realise that cafes also had pokies. So that is great that Jack Stringer was down there.
From Adrian, I was doing the timekeeping scoring at my son's under-15s match today down at Port Melbourne Colts. Sometime in the fourth quarter, I became aware of a towering presence blocking out the sun. I turned around to see who it was, and there he stood, Gil McLachlan, sipping from a cup of coffee and chatting with Port Melbourne president. He looked very relaxed in his active wear. Running shoes and shorts. Good detail here. Running shoes, shorts, grey hoodie, trucker cap.
Trucker cap. That's Gil just being of the people, man. Yeah, fuck, man. Some people drive, what do they call those big things? Are they trucks? I have a hat that represents what they wear.
Yeah, but it said worth $100 million on the front of it. We then headed off to watch the game on the other oval. I want to add, Gil has what I believe is called a penetrating stare. I felt that, like that in the brief moment our eyes met, he looked right through to the bottom of my soul. I'd expect nothing really, less of the great man.
I appreciate that, and I do understand what you're saying. I have met Gil on a few occasions, and I think coming from that height and just very deep... deep-set eyes, it just kind of bore right through you.
Well, again, to go to my point earlier, I reckon he would have a bit of the politician thing about him, where he's like, I'm going to talk to you, like I'm going to, you know, look you
focus
in the eye, I'm
right
going to make sure you're important, because, you know, I don't know what job you could offer me in your Fortune 500 company.
Now, just quickly, Daniel just said, you know, he's over from Tassie, the Tasmanian penal settlers. Do you think they will go with the Tassie Devils, considering we already have the Demons?
Well, that's actually a good question, because I figure that's a lot of hell kind of mythology, right?
Yeah,
there.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
And then also I'm thinking, I'm going to presume there's a team called Tasmanian Devils down there somewhere. Like, I'm going to presume maybe they're walking into a copyright nightmare.
Or a team's just about to get really fucking rich.
Or they could just go with, like, a football version of the Jack Jumpers. Just rolls off the tongue, mate.
It really does.
It really does. And you go, the Jack Jumpers. Oh, that animal. I've never heard of him in my entire life.
I know. It's an ant, is it?
I think it's, isn't it like kind of like almost like a bit like a fucking possum or something?
Oh, fuck. All right. We've got to look this up.
Yeah, we got to find out. Oh, it's a Jack Jumper. Yeah, sure.
That's fucking the most ridiculous. It is a stupid name, and I hope they...
Okay, Jack Jumper is a type of... Well, now I'm getting all
from the picture, it looks like an ant, if you're asking me.
Okay. We're rounding
a species of venomous ant.
An ant.
Predominantly found in the island state. Venomous. You know what they say when you go down to Tassie, beware of the Jack Jumpers, mate. They'll fucking get you.
Fucking hell. Okay.
Is that what killed off the Tassie tiger, the Jack Jumpers?
Yeah, sure. Hey, we're going to hit the road. We are junktomfpod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go.
And go Blues.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.